Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, it's Wednesday again, which is Turn the Page Day. We start looking ahead to the opponent this coming week, the Detroit Lions coming into Lambeau Field for the Packers home opener. And I think the Lions feel much the same way the Packers do, in that they feel like they should be 2-0.
Yeah, no question. And especially the way they got off to and the offensive surge that they had in the opener against Indianapolis, wasn't able to carry that over into that game against Tennessee, and obviously came up on the bad end of it. So you're going to have two very determined teams here. I think going into the season, maybe outside expectations different for both groups. But, you know, I have to give credit to, you know, really Jim Bob Cooter and the offense of the Lions. Ever since he took over, they've really been on an upswing, and it certainly carried over to the beginning of this season.
Yeah, hard to get a read on just, where this Lions team is after two games, just because of the two different styles of games that they've played through 2 weeks. A shootout in Indy, 39-35, the final score, both teams running up and down the field like a track meet. Then more of a defensive struggle against Tennessee in the Lions' home opener last week. Even though the offense for Detroit wasn't putting up a whole lot, they seemed to have the game under control. They were up 15-3 heading into the fourth quarter, then gave up two fourth quarter touchdowns and lost a tough one 16-15. So what do you make of the Lions here through 2 weeks?
Well, first off, I'm really interested to look at the Tennessee Titans, because we've had the opportunity now to see the matchup against two NFC North teams.
Yeah.
And that defense appears to be legit. I mean, the way in which they held the Vikings in check, particularly the run game, and then obviously coming back last week and being able to squeak that one out over the Detroit Lions. So I'm interested to see now exactly what we see with the Lions in terms of which offense, you know, kind of comes for the fold. Defensively, I think they've made progress, but there's still kind of a work in progress in terms of what they have and exactly when they can do it. One thing that stood out to me when I was putting together some of our stat packages this week for our game program was the fact that all five times an opponent has driven into Lions territory, red zone, they've scored 100%, 5 for 5. So there is some stuff there as far as their defense that they need to kind of get shored up. But offensively, I think when you look at what Matthew Stafford has done now over these last 8 to 10 games, they certainly have a group now, even without Calvin Johnson, that can really get yards. It's just a matter of whether or not they can translate it into points.
Yeah, and you don't want to put too much emphasis on a game in week three and make it sound like it's do or die. But for the Packers, the loss in Minnesota in week two really makes this week three game a pretty big one, because if you lose to the Lions would be 2-1. Minnesota will be either 3-0 or 2-1, depending on how they do in Carolina. If the Packers lose, they're suddenly in third place in the division, looking up at two teams, two division losses, which we all know with the tiebreakers and whatnot, how important those division games are. So the setback in Minnesota has kind of upped the urgency here for this one for Green Bay heading into the bye week.
Yeah, and there's been so many odd years, Mike, where they'd play one division game in like the first month and a half. Well, then suddenly you have two in the first 3 weeks, one of which was opening up U.S. Bank Stadium against the Vikings. So I don't even know if you look at the going 1-2 into the bye more so than just the 0-2 in the NFC North.
Yeah,
this is a division where, outside of maybe 2013, it really has taken a 5-1, 6-0 run to run away with it and to take it. So there is a lot of implications for this. But at the same time, I think this is a good opportunity for the Packers to try bouncing back on their own home turf. They don't have the streak anymore against the Lions at home. That ended last year, but still 24 out of 25 years isn't bad. So realistically, they got to come in here, as we talked about earlier this week, have to have short memories about the loss in Minnesota and try to put your best foot forward now back at Lambeau.
Yeah, that Lions losing streak on Wisconsin soil that had dated back to 1991 before the Lions came into Lambeau and won last year. Do you think getting that monkey off their back helps the Lions coming in here, or is that a little bit overblown?
I think it's somewhat overblown, just because they've had, I mean, how many coaches during that stretch?
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many different, it seemed like we were asking everybody for so many years, you know, Rod Marinelli and then Schwartz and you know, Caldwell. How do you do this? You know, what do you talk to your team about? And they pretty much all gave the same answer. So I think it was more coincidental, if nothing else, to be able to, because even with some bad teams, occasionally they're still going to be able to beat you.
Yeah.
So I think for the Packers now, if anything, maybe it's maybe it somewhat is kind of cleansing in a way that this week they don't have to answer all the questions about, hey, can you make it 26 years in a row? It's just, you know, the streak's done. You try to make the best of it now and see what you can do against this year's Lions team. But it is interesting. It was really quite an oddity that it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah, definitely a statistical oddity for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about after the break about the Detroit Lions. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we talked about the streak of Detroit's losses in Wisconsin coming to an end. Historically, kind of another shift now with this Packers-Lions rivalry in that for the first time in several years, Calvin Johnson will not be on the roster for Detroit. And when I look at the Lions statistically, at least through two games, sort of what I expected to see in that Matthew Stafford is spreading the ball around. Through two games, six different players for the Lions have at least five receptions in the passing game. Four of those six players have a touchdown catch through the first two games. So Stafford spreading the ball around kind of as expected. But then we just found out shortly before we came in here to tape this episode that the Lions have lost one of those weapons in running back Ameer Abdullah, goes on injured reserve today with a foot injury. What impact does that have now on their offense?
Well, it certainly takes away another threat in terms of their running attack. I really like Theo Riddick. He isn't probably as much of a traditional running back as Abdullah is. I know there's some talks about, you know, Dwayne Washington now maybe being the guy that takes more of those short yardage situations going forward, but they kind of had a nice little two-headed monster building up there with those two young guys. And without Abdullah now, Moore will be thrown on Riddick. They've ran the ball really well so far this season. I thought Abdullah was off to a really nice start. Riddick is more that can hurt you both in the run and the pass. So that certainly is going to be another thing that's going to work against this offense. But back to your point on Stafford, that was impressive. They lose Calvin Johnson. You're not going to be able to replace Calvin Johnson. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to get Eric Ebron going. You have to use your new weapon in Marvin Jones Jr. And I think that was a really smart play by them, you know, signing him out of Cincinnati, right, when they know they needed a big weapon there. Golden Tate's off to a slow start, but obviously he's had success against the Packers. So there's a multitude of guys that Stafford's been looking to so far, and maybe there's something to be said for, you know, having more of that depth there in terms of outlets you can go to rather than constantly relying on Megatron.
Yeah, the point you brought up about Riddick I think is interesting because I don't know if I've ever seen a regular opponent of the Packers use a running back out of the backfield in the passing game as much as the Lions like to use Riddick, whether it's on the check down, on a screen, on maybe a wheel route out of the backfield. He's not necessarily the full-time two-way running receiving back that like a Matt Forte was for Chicago. But boy, they like to get him the ball in the passing game with some of those short throws and see what he can do in space.
Yeah, and kind of a diminutive back, you know, 5'9", but strong, 200 pounds. He kind of almost reminds you a little bit of what I think they were attempting to do with Reggie Bush when they got Reggie Bush in Detroit. Somebody that could hurt you in both ways, but particularly can handle the ball out of the backfield as a pass catcher. So, yeah, and it's an interesting story that he has. Again, kind of like when they had Joique Bell, sort of the self-made football player that came out of relative, you know, not really knowing where he was from. I mean, he was, you know, from Notre Dame, but didn't really have a big pedigree to him when he came into the league.
Right.
And suddenly now he's making a big impact in this offense. So, yeah, more pressure will be thrown on him without Abdullah, but certainly from a pass-catching perspective, he offers them a pretty big threat.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier in the segment tight end Eric Ebron, a top-10 draft pick when he came out. The Lions really took a chance there. He hasn't lived up to the billing yet, so to speak, but he's off to a decent start so far this year. Is this the year it's coming together for Eric Ebron?
Yeah, I've always said this. I think you need to have patience with tight ends. Some of the analysis I've done over the last couple of years, it's very difficult for a rookie tight end, a first-year tight end, second-year tight end, to come in and make an immediate impact. You usually see those guys occasionally. Guys will come out of nowhere and really develop quickly, but a lot of times you have to have patience with them. Ebron, I think, is one of those guys. And certainly, you know, with throwing him in there, his body type, the threat he provides in the middle of the field, it's something that really they didn't have before then. I mean, they had some, you know, Pettigrew and some pretty decent blockers and things like that, but he's a guy I think could really be a difference maker for him. And now certainly this year he's off to a good start in trying to, you know, make that next step.
Yeah, and getting back to the Lions running game, the Packers through 2 weeks are number one in the league in rush defense, having shut down both the Jaguars and the Vikings running games. And we don't really know how necessarily the Lions are going to come out to try to run the ball now without Abdullah. It's an adjustment on the fly for them, not something they were expecting. But do you see the Packers being able to continue the type of run defense that they played? Because if they do, this game completely falls on Matthew Stafford's shoulders.
No question. And you would think, especially with the way the Packers historically have bounced back in terms of their secondary and generating turnovers, that could definitely tilt in their favor going into this one. But yeah, I really do believe this is a matchup where the Packers can continue that sort of that thread that they're on in terms of being able to stop the run. You look at Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, even Joe Thomas when he got involved. All three of those guys were really quick, really active, didn't miss a whole lot of tackles, and pretty much were strong and solo, you know, middle of the field, being able to take guys down. So I think that's a positive sign for him. If they don't have LaTroy Guy on, that's going to be something that's going to, you'll have to take note of. But yeah, if Kenny Clark plays the way he did this past week, I don't see any reason why the Packers can't keep that up, especially with Mike Daniels being on the tear that he's been on so far.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, still plenty more to talk about this Week 3 NFC North matchup coming up at Lambeau Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we've talked about it over the last couple of days. The Packers are finally back home after this long stretch of road games, the two to end the preseason, the two road games to begin the regular season. The home cooking, is this the antidote, so to speak, or will this be part of the antidote to getting this Packers offense back on track playing at Lambeau Field?
Yeah, it certainly can't hurt. I don't know what Grandma and Grandpa Spofford were up to in 1923 or whatever it was the last time the Packers opened back-to-back on the road. But certainly that's a challenge, and especially two extreme environments, both dealing with the weather and the heat in Jacksonville and then the noise.
Yeah, neither one of those was a normal road game.
No, exactly. You know? So, I mean, and I know the Packers afterwards, they talked about the noise. Obviously, it was there, but it wasn't a factor in how they played. But being back at Lambeau Field, feeling the energy of your own fans on your turf, I think that's something that could certainly help them. I also think it could be something that helps get the running game established a little bit more. It was tough to run in Jacksonville on a consistent basis, and certainly it's a different environment inside a dome. So I think this is going to be something good for the Packers. I'm really curious to see exactly how exactly they bounce back.
Yeah.
What Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to cook up based on his history of bouncing back from down performances. So there's a lot of things I think tilt their favor going into this one.
Yeah, the thing I'm interested to see as Sunday's game gets going, with the offense being back at home, you're not dealing with the crowd noise as much when you're on offense the way you do on the road. This is where Aaron Rodgers kind of gets to do his thing in the up-tempo, the no-huddle. He can make more checks at the line. The communication and everything with that is much cleaner and can be much more varied, I guess you could say. He's able to really get the offense in the best possible play based on the defensive alignment. And not only with this being the home opener, but this stretch of home games here, this is really where I see the Packers ironing out whatever's going on with the offense and getting things back to where they need to be.
No question. And certainly, too, let's look at the defensive perspective as well. I you know, the past few years, the whole Get Loud Lambeau sort of initiative, I think it has been more of an advantage for the defense these last two seasons of my coverage of the team. So I think that's going to, for everything that they've done so far, the positives and the strides that they've made on the road, now being able to have that to their advantage, I think could be a big plus going into this one. But back to what you said, I mean, when you look at this offense and Aaron Rodgers, when they kind of are clicking and everything is working as you want it to work, this is really the environment you want to be in. I know there were a couple years there where people were like, well, are they better as a dome team? I think when Mike McCarthy talks about balance and establishing the field position, the Green Bay Packers really can use Lambeau Field to their advantage, especially as it gets colder into the year. So, it's going to be a big game. As we talked about in the last segment, obviously there's big implications for the division in this one.
Yep.
But I think when you look at Aaron Rodgers and where this offense is at right now and really the weapons that are there and available, I could see this being the game where they get back on track.
Yeah, and I like to see with regards to getting the running game going, like you mentioned, I think when the Packers' running game is at its best is a lot of times when Rodgers checks to a running play because they've spread them out, they're in a certain offensive formation, and then Rodgers likes, you know, the look of the defense in a certain spot, and he can check to a run. Now, when you're in shotgun on the road, you can't necessarily do that because not everybody's going to hear. The offensive linemen obviously have to know if you're checking from pass to run in order to make that stuff work, and that's where I think the home cooking, so to speak, can really help the offense. But I also like your point about the defense. We talked earlier this week about the next step for the defense, as good as they've been against the run, pressuring the quarterback, and on third down, the next step is to get some turnovers.
Right.
And when you're at home and you get the crowd really loud on a third down, maybe it rattles the quarterback, it rattles that offense a little bit, somebody makes a mistake, and the ball comes out and the defense can take advantage.
No question. And Dom Capers, what does he always say? I mean, turnovers, they come in bunches. Fumbles come in bunches.
That's for sure.
Even sacks come in bunches. So if you could start doing that stuff, I think it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way in which you can really achieve what you're looking to achieve with this defense, because it is kind of an anomaly a little bit that you go and have as many hits on the quarterback, as much pressure as they've generated in the first two games, and you only have that one turnover right now. If they could keep that up, I think Matthew Stafford, in the past, one of the blueprints to being able to beat the Lions is turning him over, and certainly that's going to be a point of emphasis going into this one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to a break, we'll take care of a little sponsor business here for Packers Unscripted. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment, we look at what the Packers are heading into here. They're not only their home opener, but their first NFC North home game of 2016. And last year, a bit of an anomaly. The Packers lost to all three of their division opponents at Lambeau Field. First time that had happened under Mike McCarthy, certainly, and I think it dates back even farther than that, all of those games coming right down to the wire. The Detroit game was a potential field goal by Mason Crosby to win. Both the Minnesota and Chicago games, the Packers had the ball at the end with a chance to score and extend the game, and it didn't work out. So three close losses to division opponents at home last year, that's a streak that's got to stop.
Yeah, it was strange, too, because I think they won all three on the road, too,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
it's just, where does that come from?
Right.
And certainly, obviously, the Detroit game is one that no one will ever forget. So, yeah, totally. You got to defend your home turf, particularly against your division. And, you know, the positive thing for the Packers is they basically were in every single one of those games at home, but unfortunately came up on the wrong end of it. So what do you have to do to turn that around? I think a lot of it is really gaining the time of possession and winning that field position battle. That's something that kind of worked against them at both on Thanksgiving night and then all against the Bears, and then also a week earlier than that against Detroit. So certainly an interesting dilemma the Packers face. And I, you know, you don't look at two seasons, as Mike McCarthy always says, the comparables from one season to the other. There's no point in talking about it. It's about this season.
Right.
But certainly that's a trend that they want to reverse now, getting a chance to see the Lions again at home.
Yeah, and a strange setup to the schedule, you might say, with playing the Vikings and the Lions back-to-back here in weeks 2 and 3. Now the Packers won't get the rematches against these two teams until Christmas Eve day against the Vikings, and then week 17 is the trip to Detroit. So a big gap here in 2016 between the first and second meetings with Packers Vikings and Packers Lions. Just a strange way that it sets up, and boy, if you're the Packers, not only do you not want to have to be thinking about losses to the Vikings and the Lions for that long before you have to play them again, but you've got the bye week
right. Coming
up here. You don't want to head into the bye week on a two-game losing streak.
No, you don't. First off, I'm really looking forward to ringing in the new year in Michigan. That should be fun. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, this is something where whatever happens, win or lose or tie, I guess, you're going to have an extra week to think about it. And certainly, you know, the way that typically Mike McCarthy's done things, they'll meet on Monday after that, they'll make the corrections. They usually send the guys on their way for the week to kind of get themselves reset. How much do they need to get reset? We'll have to probably see based
right.
on
yeah,
this
we
game,
have to
but
find out.
It certainly is going to give them an opportunity to look back at these last 3 weeks and figure out exactly which direction they feel that they need to go with offensively and, you know, what they're doing correct defensively. But certainly, you think back to last year and in some of these past seasons, the loss against New Orleans in 2014, the bye week was kind of a turning point for the Packers that season. So not that you want that here, but certainly if you can come up with a win, I think starting 2-1, 1-1 in the division to start the year, and having a week to think about it probably isn't the worst thing.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too awfully bad. The Packers have had this early bye week before, and you know, we'll see what the health situation is
right.
of the team. We'll find that out more later in the week, and then obviously with whatever happens on Sunday, if the bye week will be in the right place in order to get some guys healthy. But plenty more to discuss as the week goes on with the Lions coming to town. So we'll call that a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account on Twitter. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.